So we're going to go first to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I wanted to share this morning a little bit on the subject of doing the Word of God. Doing the Word of God. God does want us to learn of Him. He wants us to know who He is. Obviously, in manifestations, He's showing very obvious that He wants to take care of us. He wants us to be blessed. And part of learning is not that God just wants us to learn of Him, but He also wants us to do what His Word says. And this is as obvious and as possible in chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a hearer, may be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And glass is referring to a mirror. For he both beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway or immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was. Be like going in the bathroom here, take a look at yourself, and when you walk out of the bathroom into the kitchen, you forgot what you look like. what an analogy God provides there, huh? So, you know, and I know with us being parents, we just totally don't want our kids to do what we, you know, instruct them to do as they're getting, you know, as they're growing up. We expect them that they're not going to do anything. We don't want them to do it. We're just going to say it to them. How ludicrous would that be? You know, we instruct or give counsel or whatever so that the person can heed to it. God gives us words so that we can heed to it. Let's go to Old Testament, the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 3. I got that one straight. It is definitely chapter 3. Numbers, chapter 3. I'm just going to look at Moses for a few scriptures, and he certainly was one who did what God told him to do. Chapter 3, and in verse 14, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, Number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers, by their families, every male from a month old and upward shalt thou number. And Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord as he was commanded." Just simply did it. God said, "This is what I want you to do," and Moses did it. Verse 44 of chapter 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle, and the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord." And he gives them more instructions. And then in verse 51, it says, "And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses." Chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 45. "These be those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses." And in verse 49, "According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, every one according to his service and according to his burden. Thus were they numbered of him as the Lord commanded Moses." You know, Moses just faithfully carried out that which God had told him to do. And it sounds so simple. And it is. Or it can be. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6. It's the second book, Genesis, Exodus, chapter 6. And we're just going to look at a few verses in these chapters of God just speaking to Moses. And the first one's in verse 2. It says, "And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord." Verse 10. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," verse 13. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron," verse 28. "And it came to pass on that day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt," verse 29. "That the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee." that's chapter 7, verse 8. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying," verse 19. "And the Lord spake unto Moses," chapter 8, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses," verse 5. "And the Lord spake unto Moses," chapter 12, verse 1. And you can go through a lot of the sections that deals with Moses, and it goes on and on and on. Chapter 12, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron." Chapter 13, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," chapter 14, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses." God's doing a lot of speaking to this guy, Moses. And my hunch is that he kept speaking to Moses because Moses kept doing what God told him to do. God found in Moses a man who would carry out that which he needed to carry out to bless the children of Israel. And to prove that, you could just stay there. But I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus," consider him, "who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." So Moses just kept doing it. Was Moses perfect? Absolutely not. It says that he even died according to how God, you know, God had showed Moses, you know, his end. And it says he died according to the word of the Lord. I mean, just amazing, you know, what he did. But God did a lot of talking to Moses. And Moses, to his best ability, his faithfulness to carry it out, did it. Let's go to, we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. See an example of just doing what God says to do. It can be simple. Not necessarily always easy, but it can be simple. It's just a matter of saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to do that, or no, I'm not going to do that. You know, we see that when our kids were little. Well, there's still little kids here. But there's always that time where they say, in their thinking, no, I'm not doing that. So, it happens. 1 Kings chapter 17. This is a record concerning Elijah. And God was working with Elijah, showing him things to do. Elijah spoke for God. He represented God to the children of Israel many times. And he tells Elijah a very specific thing about the land was not going. There was not going to be rain or even dew until God had told Elijah that there was going to be. There was going to be a drought, and Elijah was instructed to tell Ahab, who was not a very good king. He was a mean, evil person that didn't follow God, and Elijah's just going to give him a little information here. So verse 1, we're just going to read part of this record. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word," these years. That doesn't say how many, but 1 year is a long time without rain. How about years? Verse 2, "And the word of the Lord came unto him," referring to Elijah, "saying, Get thee hence, get out of there, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So God's commanding these birds. Good thing Raleigh wasn't around. I was going to do what he told me to do, but some guy shot me out of the air. But look at that. God commanded these birds to come and feed him. And they didn't give themselves for him to feed him. They dropped off food for him. They, you know, like a courier service. Dropped it. You know, they weren't the meal. Verse 5. And this is just so simply stated, but look how big it is. So he's told what to do. So verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So one thing I know, if I was prophesied that day and time, they'd be dropping 3 or 4 times. I mean, there's no way I'm going to stay alive on 2 times a day. But at least I would make my request known. Can we up the volume here? But that apparently was what he liked, and that's what he got. It came to pass, verse 7, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So God's getting involved again. Saying, he said, I commanded this widow woman. She's going to take care of you. verse 10. So he arose and went to where?
Zarephath.
Where did God tell him to go?
Zarephath.
I mean, it's really kind of simple. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse, and behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and that we may eat it and die. Oh, great. He commanded a widow woman is about to croak to take care of me. So this isn't going to be too good. So verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but first, before you do that and go die, make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord, so this is Revelation, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel, look at this promise, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and said, that guy is really crazy. Well, she did what? She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Incredible. Just incredible. And then chapter 18, same, you know, book there, chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year. So it hadn't rained for over 3, or even dew, for over 3 years. To Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went. Imagine that. He's doing what God told him to do. He went to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. Isn't that something? He just did what God told him to do. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. It sounds so simple, and it is. I think I've said probably a few times to my kids, just do what I tell you to do. Have you ever found yourself saying that? Will you just do what you've been told? You know, it's, and as we raise children to do that, we're helping them to have a mindset to obey God when that time comes, whenever that time is. You know, they at least have a habit pattern of doing what they're told. Chapter 1 of Acts, verse 4, this is the right before Jesus Christ is going to ascend into heaven. He's given some last-minute information to the apostles, the 12 apostles that were with him. And verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." So they're told to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. So these guys, let's see what they do. Verse 12, Jesus Christ ascends, and what do? "Then returned they unto Jerusalem." Wow, that's smart. It really is. It sounds like, oh yeah, of course you would go back to Jerusalem. But have we ever found ourselves in a situation where we really knew point A is where God wants us to go, and we're trying to go to point B or skip point A completely, you know? "Then returned they unto Jerusalem." It's just really cool. Go to chapter 5. I just picked out a few places in the book of Acts where we see people who were given information from God and they carried it out. But it's not always easy, as we'll see in a couple of these things, but it's always available to do. It may not always be easy, but it's always available. Chapter 5, verse 18. What had happened is the apostles were speaking a word and they got in trouble. The Pharisees and the religious leaders didn't like that they were speaking a word, so they arrested them. And verse 18 says, "And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Now they just got thrown in prison for doing this. And now an angel comes, breaks them out of prison and says, "You go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." This is not necessarily an easy thing. And they said so. They said, "What, are you kidding? We just got thrown in jail for this." Verse 27 says that. Verse 27, "And when they had brought them, they had set them before the council." They did go and speak in the temple, and then they got arrested again. When the temple spoke, they brought them to the council again. In verse 27 it says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked him, Hey, didn't we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." And that was their choice. Was it easy? No, they're getting arrested. And then later, you know, they started threatening them, and then they tried to kill them. But so, yeah, it obviously wasn't easy, but they chose to do it. And their mindset was, we ought to obey God rather than man. What a great example to us. Acts chapter 10. This is... Acts chapter 10. I'm sorry. We're going to go to Acts chapter... I didn't write my thing here. Acts chapter 9 first. This is Saul was the guy who was, as we know,
trying to persecute the church and was doing a really good job of it, and a lot of people were scared of him, and rightfully so, because he had would go into fellowship to come in and grab people and have them executed and make them, force them to blaspheme. Not a friendly fellow to the believers. And on his way to Damascus, he gets Jesus Christ appears to him, tells him what to do. He goes into Damascus and is there waiting. And in chapter 9, verse 10, a believer in Damascus, it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight." Now, he doesn't know that Saul had this conversion. "Go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul." I wonder if that's the same Saul. "Of Tarsus." Oh, shoot. I think it might be. "For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision, this is Revelation, seen in a vision a man named Ananias." Coincidence. Hey, that's my name. I hope it's not me. "Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered." Let's see here. "Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here, just in case you're not aware, he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." So Ananias had some reservations. Didn't look like a really good plan to him. He got a little bit more information. He got settled in his heart and went and did it. And that's honest. I mean, there's times where we maybe not want to do what we know is right, but we get it worked out and go forward. Not always easy, but it's always available. Chapter 10, a quick one here. And verse 9, we're going to pick it up. This is where Peter was praying on the housetop, and this is where there's going to be a major change of understanding of who to speak God's word to. Up until this point, it was basically Israel and converted people to Israel stuff. And now God's trying to work with Peter to have him go to the Gentiles, which is like unthinkable to a Jew. It was a progressive learning of understanding of what God's will was. Jesus Christ had told them, go to all the world and preach this gospel, but they were staying with the Judeans and the converted proselytes, So Peter's on this rooftop, verse 9, it says, "And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the rooftop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they had made ready, he fell in a trance," or a quiet state of thinking or mind, not a weird trance, "and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knitted at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts." Now, this is something given to a guy that's starving. You're going to give him a vision of lots of food out there. But look how God's just working with his understanding here. four corners of wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Now, as you know, the Jews were not allowed to eat certain foods, like they couldn't eat a pig, they couldn't eat certain things, they weren't allowed to have shrimp, couldn't eat lobster, because they were considered unclean. And God divided clean animals from unclean animals, and very specifically in the Old Testament law, what they were allowed to eat and not allowed to eat. And here, he's seeing all these different kind of animals. And verse 13 says, "And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' And Peter said, 'Not so, Lord. Whoa, whoa. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.'" Why? Because Peter was adhering to the law that he was taught. Really wonderful. But here the commandment is to rise and kill and eat. "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common.' This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven." You know, now he's wondering what to do. So verse 17, "And now while Peter doubted in his mind," he's trying to figure out what this vision is, that he had seen should mean, "because behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision," he's trying to figure this out, "the Spirit said unto him, 'Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing.'" And the word doubting there could be otherwise translated as discriminating. It's a dividing. And God's telling Peter, don't discriminate. You just go and don't get any, you know, discrimination in your mind, because he's going to a Gentile house. And he doesn't really know it yet. And God's saying, just go with those guys and don't think about who they are. "And Peter went down to the men that were..." "Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, 'Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the case wherewith you are come?' And they explain what's going on. And then Peter brings them in, and then he goes the next day with them. And he's carrying out. Now that wasn't easy. You got a guy who all his life has been adhering to the law and is growing. Day of Pentecost, they get born again. The law is ended, and they're growing in this. And here God's trying to get a man, a person, to reach beyond the children of Israel and to reach out into the Gentiles, to the rest of the world. And he's starting with Peter and saying, hey, what I said is clean, you know. So he obeyed. He went and he spoke the word to them. And that was the first time where the Gentiles spoke in tongues. They were all listening, and all of a sudden they were so excited, they just started speaking in tongues. They got born again and just started speaking. They didn't even wait for the instruction. They just blasted it out there. But just wonderful how he, you know, like, that wasn't easy. He was breaking through cultural barriers, his own head. Everything that was to stop him, want to stop him, was right there in front of him. And yet he still carried it out. He knew it was God. So lastly, we're going to Psalm 119. It may be simple, but it's not always necessarily the easiest thing to do. But it always starts with a decision. Okay, I'm going to do this. Or if it's what we're not supposed to do, okay, I'm not going to do that. You know. It's like if you're on a diet and you see that food in front of you that you want to eat, but you're not supposed to, and there's that moment of decision. Am I going to eat the thing or not? And, you know, it's not that you don't know. So Psalm 119, look at just the beautiful heart in these couple verses. Psalm 119, verse 4. Well, it's really verse 5. 119, verse 5. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." What a heart. Oh, I just would love it that my ways were to keep God's word. I just would love that. Verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before thee, or before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. Verse 32. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And that's just the way it is. You know, we lay the Word of God in front of us, we consider it, we look at it, and we desire to do it. And just like Elijah the Tishbite, which had to go to Ahab, the king, and say, hey, look, it's not going to rain or dew until I say so, these years. Sure, that wasn't an easy thing, because he had to go into hiding after that. So, interesting how it is. But our desire is just, we just want to do what God's Word says, and God honors that. And it's a wonderful way to live and to be. So we endeavor to help each other to do that. God endeavors to help us to do that. And there's one on this earth that's not helping us to do that, and that's the devil. He doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to do what God's Word is, whatever it may be. And there's plenty in the written word as to what to do or what not to do. So it's great.